Hello, everyone. This is a special bonus episode that I'm releasing just because something came up and I thought I should address it. And it's not serious. Don't worry. It's not like one of the many horrible things that have happened this year that I felt the need to address in an overly emotional episode. But this is something interesting and I thought it was worth making a short episode about. I've said the word episode way too many times already. So here we go. Hello, and I already introduced this episode, so I'm not going to say welcome to Deep in Bear Country because mine is the only voice you're going to hear. I'm not bringing in a guest. I will be recording an actual episode this week, but I don't consider this an actual episode. God, I can't stop saying episode. It's so weird. It's like a, now it's a compulsive. But here we go. Forget everything I said. This is in relation to the episode I did. I keep saying, now I can't not hear it when I say episode. Now it sounds really weird coming out of my mouth. Episode, episode, episode. This is in relation to the Berenstain Bears Lose a Friend, which I covered a couple of weeks ago all by myself, all alone in my house, in my studio, which is just a room, by the way. If you've never seen the inside of my studio, it's not a studio. It's actually the former bedroom of my older child, Willow, with whom I do It's Del Toro Time, a Guillermo del Toro adjacent podcast, which you can just search it. It's there. It's out there. If you ever want to hear more of me, just listen to It's Del Toro Time, or Pizza Toast, another podcast I do with Christy Admiral about the Babysitter's Club. If you like hearing my voice, that's the only reason I can think you'd want to hear it. I'm very down on myself. In any case, why am I releasing this episode, this clip, this blip, this special, this mini-sode? I'll say mini-sode from now on. It's because sometimes I forget that Mike Berenstain is actually aware of this show. And the other day, I was reminded of this very thing by an email that I received concerning the Berenstain Bears Lose a Friend episode. I got this. So Mike doesn't send me emails directly. They get sent through his assistant, whom I met, whose name is Eleanor. She's amazing. She's incredible. And I am just so happy that she has been my contact person there at the Berenstain Studios since I began this whole endeavor. And she was there when we visited Mike's studio so many years ago at this point. And she's still there today. And every once in a while, I will send an inquiry to Mike with a question. And sometimes I'll get a response. Sometimes I won't. I don't blame him for not responding. He is a very busy man. At least a book a month. And the other day, apropos of absolutely nothing, I received this email from Eleanor, which is always like a thrill because I know that there's something Berenstain Bearsy coming up that she or Mike thinks I should be privy to. And she's like, hey, Mike has some stuff to tell you about your recent episode on the Berenstain Bears Lose a Friend. And my blood pressure went up about, I don't know how to count blood pressure, but a million points, I guess, is because I was just like, there is absolutely no way this will come to any good. I was extremely critical of the Berenstain Bears Lose a Friend. I knew that it was a book that came out right after his father had died. And I was suddenly like, oh no, this is the point where Mike cuts all ties with me. This is the point where Mike is like, I know we haven't spoken in a while, but consider this an end to any relationship we have. I was panicked, freaking out so much that I set the email aside and did not look at it for many hours. It took me a long time to read it. In fact, fun little aside, I didn't read it initially. I posted on my own personal Facebook page that I had received this email and that I was too freaked out to read it. And a frequent guest of the show, Casey Galleon, a dear friend of mine who I've known now for over a decade, wrote to me and was like, do you want me to read it and report back to you? And I said, yes, please. So I copied and sent her the email and she read it and was like, don't worry about it. Don't worry about it. It's full of a lot of cool information. Don't worry about it. Casey is a dear friend, and I thank her for taking that for me. It was You do not understand just how freaked out I was. So I'm not going to tell you the entire contents of the email in this episode, A, because it's very long, and B, because the body of the email can be read over at patreon.com/deepinbearcountry. My patrons can actually see the email because it was full of much wonderful information. But I do want to address a couple of the points Mike made here on a brief minisode, because they're worth noting, and they play into the premise of this entire show, the whole reason I'm doing this show in the first place, which is something that I tend to lose sight of every once in a while because I do a lot of episodes and I've been doing this for over 5 years and I need a refresher every now and then as to what the whole point of this show is. So let me just take a look at a couple of things Mike said in this email about the Berenstain Bears lose a friend. One, he points out that the idea for the book was his own. He wanted to do this type of a story, and he proposed it to his parents, which I assume it didn't occur to me. I've discussed this book with Mike in the past, did not know that it was actually his idea, and it makes sense. He was slowly taking over some of the duties from his parents. And he'd been working with them for quite a while at this point. So this was kind of his little project. And both of his parents were a little hesitant about the idea, but they saw it as something, as a challenge. He puts it as a challenge. And that his father, that Stan Berenstain, wrote the initial draft and did the cover design. But being Stan Berenstain, it was a little bit wackier, let's just say, than ended up getting published. That Stan died. And that HarperCollins HarperCollins accepted the initial idea, but they needed it to be dialed down. And if you want a little, if you go to patreon.com/deepinbearcountry if you want the full example of what the dial it down was from. But what ended up happening was they had to revise Stan's draft and Stan's like art concept from something that was a little more sitcom-y into what we ended up with here. And so that's where you end up. That's where a lot of this, it makes more sense now to me, which is that what we're dealing with was Stan Berenstain, who was a force of nature. If what I'm reading into this, not only reading into this email, but reading into just what Mike has said in the past and what I gathered from looking at the archives and gathered from looking at his writings, his non-Berenstain Bears writings, that Stan and to an extent Jan, but I personally always got this from Stan. Maybe it's just because I saw more examples of his work, was that he just had this wild sense of humor and this just out there approach to a lot of this stuff that for both of them, like, parenting was a comedy of errors. And when you're applying that to something like death, there's many extremes you can go to. And it seems like Stan went to one extreme with his initial draft, which HarperCollins was like, we can't do this if we're doing a serious book about death. But that Mike and Jan were hesitant to completely, trash Stan's initial idea and start over. So they basically just toned down what Stan had done. Also, and Mike points this out, that Stan, died. And so he says the situation after his dad's death was a bit chaotic, sort of like a ship after it's been torpedoed, with a lot of frantic pumping and calling down to the engine room and so forth. So in addition to not wanting to mess too much with what his dad had written, they were also just, there was a lot going on in the Berenstain world, like following the death of one of its creators. So then it was Jan who took all of the art, did it. Like she redid the cover and the interior artwork. It seems, as Mike says, that all he did on the book was tweak the cover design. That's it, art-wise. He points out that his mom was 84 at this time. And he says, and I love this, he says, it was amazing she could do any art at all. And these were her bears. Believe me, you didn't tell Janice Marion Grant what to do with her art. Think Grant before Richmond. Quote, I will fight it out on this line if it takes all summer. Sometimes from this era, I'm like, oh, this is Mike art. This is Mike art. It reminds me that this was Stan and Jan's creation. And Mike didn't just jump in and take over. And sometimes it looks like what I see as Mike art is actually Jan art from this era. And I remember Mike talking, this is years ago now, about how Jan and Stan always had this ongoing, like, sort of like, I don't want to say butting heads because I wasn't there, so I don't know how much of this was actually butting heads, but there was always this conflict over exactly how the bears looked. I remember it had to do with ear placement. And I'm wondering now if what I'm seeing is Jan drawing the bears the way she always thought they should be drawn. And seeing that as Mike, because Mike adapted the bears into more that way of drawing them. I don't know. Again, this is speculation on my part. I guess what this, and the reason this email of his moved me so much is because it's that reminder once again that, you know, I started this podcast because I found the Berenstain Bears fascinating. It was this look at over 50 years of a property that had been in the hands of one family for so long. It was a work, it's a body of art. It's a body of narrative art. It's a body of visual art. And it's the story of a family who, you know, told through this product they produced that has stayed in that this family has continued to care about for over half of a century. And it's another reminder. One of my driving forces behind this show has always been, no matter how disposable you may consider a product, artwork, narrative work, children's books, even up to and including product packaging, there is always people behind it. And 99 times out of 100, there is someone working on that product, on that children's book, that children's cartoon, that movie, that direct to streaming science fiction film that seems tailor-made for bad movie podcasts. No matter what you're looking at, there is almost always someone working on that that cared a lot about what they were doing. They may not have cared about the final product, but they cared about what they were putting into it, and they were doing their best, and they were trying to create something, if not even meaningful, then something worth looking at. And I think in this era, this world of, hey, look at how terrible this thing is, product, this sort of like we are creators creating sort of skewed looks at things from our childhoods, that we tend to forget at times that these are always the product of people and that there are always people behind them. And so that's just what I wanted to stop and remind myself and remind my listeners. At the end of it, Mike didn't seem to mind my episode, however wrong and critical it was. He said, my dad was a one-of-a-kind zany nut, and at this point in his life and near death, he really didn't give a flying you-know-what about helping kids deal with death and grief. He just wanted to have fun. And my mom at this point didn't really care about fine points of style and design. She just wanted to have fun drawing and painting. They were funny, very funny, creative, eccentric people, and I enjoyed having your podcast take me back to the time when I was working closely with them and dealing with all their eccentricities every day. And if there's one thing that Mike always reminds me of when he writes to me and I get to hear his words, is that A, he cares so much about this property. He loves talking about it. He loves remembering working on it. He loves filling me in on the reality of working on this. And B, that these were people making these, and they are as susceptible to putting out wonky stories and maybe not hitting the mark every time as all of us are. And if there's one thing that I personally need to remind myself, it's that I am just as susceptible to mistakes as they are. And that's okay, because there's a lot out there and we do a lot and we produce a lot. And I am grateful to have someone like Mike consider me worth talking to. So thank you, Mike. And thank you all for listening. This is a mini-sode that I just am going to put out there. And I'm releasing this first on Patreon, and then I am going to release it in my regular feed a few days later. But so if you are on patreon.com/deepinbearcountry, this is your gift, is getting to hear this early. I mean, you've already read the email if you're going to read it, so you know, take that for what it is. But these are just my thoughts. So thank you all for listening, and I will see you all next time this week, deep in bear country.